This week on Don't Miss the Bus, find out why Singapore's independence was like no other. Learn about some of the bizarre laws this country has. And find out the best gardens and markets to attend during your stop off in Singapore.
I'm Rory Kerr.
And I'm Mark Fay.
This is the podcast where two tour guides reflect on 15 years of travel to seven continents and over 120 countries. Each episode, we'll be focusing on a country from both a tour guide and a backpacker's perspective. We are no experts, but our hilarious and often bizarre stories will keep you informed on the do's, the don'ts, and the hidden melons that will surely get you excited for your next big adventure.
Oh, Rory, I am very excited. We are in Singapore. What a fantastic country. Hey, listen, I know we're Irish, but we're also Australian, clearly by our accents, and many of flights from Australia International, vice versa, coming back, we stopped through Singapore. So many of us, our friends, colleagues, have spent much time in Singapore. But Rory, the population of Singapore is 5.3 million people. It's a very, very wealthy city-state in Southeast Asia. And did you know that in Singapore, they speak four languages?
Four languages?
Yes. What are the two that you probably know?
English.
And?
Malaysian.
Mandarin, Malay, you're right, and Tamil.
Tamil.
I didn't know languages. Tamil. I didn't know Malay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Here you go, Mark. We've looked all over the world, and you know when a young country wants to break away, they usually have to fight who's controlling them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Always. Not Singapore. The Prime Minister was actually in tears when they gained their independence. Malaysia voted unanimously in 1965 to kick Singapore out. Can you imagine? Nah, we don't want you anymore. And got rid of them.
Really?
Yeah, they got rid of them. Funny enough now Singapore's one of the richest countries in the world.
Very, very rich.
Very rich. And they weren't wanted. Only in the 60s.
It's rich and it's strong because the military, it's mandatory. Did you know that? During
It is, indeed. And so, they have to go back for training every year. Every year it is?
Yep. Until 40. Crazy.
Now, what's your experiences in Singapore, Mark?
I have had, I'm sure like you, a few experiences popping in, maybe a day, 2 days, 3 days. My last experience, Rory, was it would have been about 2 years ago. I got to spend a day in Singapore. And when I say a day, I mean from 4 o'clock in the morning to about 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So I went around all of the town of Singapore and had a really, really good time. Easy place to walk around.
Very
easy. Really good place to embrace the Indian and Chinese culture. It's very much combined, especially the type of food and clothing that you'll have there. I don't know if you know this, but Chinese actually account for more than 75% of Singapore's population.
Really?
So you'll actually find that they speak, even though English is their main language, you'll often hear more Mandarin spoken than English, even though English is its official first language.
Because there's a lot of expats too in Singapore.
Yep.
Now, even if for our listeners, if you are passing through Singapore and you've got to stop over and it's not that long, Changi Airport has been voted on numerous occasions. I think five times the best airport in the world.
Yep.
It is spectacular in their gardens, waterfalls, everything you can want. So if you can't get into Singapore, check the airport out.
Rory, and you mentioned the gardens at the airport. When you get into Singapore, the botanical gardens are some of the most beautiful gardens you'll see. Have you heard about Gardens by the Bay?
Yeah, it's one of my takeaway points from Singapore, so I don't know what I'm going to talk about now.
Well, tell us about it. I want to hear more.
You want to hear about Gardens by the Bay?
Tell me more.
Gardens by the Bay, it's about 25 Singaporean dollars to get in. It's got 400,000 plants inside. And if you've ever seen those giant structures, they look like trees and they look futuristic. That is pictures from Gardens by the Bay.
Yeah. I think they're called the super trees.
Super trees. That's what they're called. I didn't know that.
Very complex, that name.
Super and trees together.
You got to say it together. Well, it doesn't work if you say tree super, it's super tree.
My experience in Singapore, we had a family holiday. I was around 14.
Yeah.
Really, really safe. As a 14-year-old, I could just go off and wander around the city. There was no bother at all because
nobody's going to harm you in Singapore. It's a super safe place. Then I also popped through when I was in my 20s and backpacking through Asia. It was a shock to the system. We had come from Thailand, where things are a bit dirty and grungy, to the clinical Singapore. And then we left there and went to Vietnam. So very, very different than a lot of other Asian cities.
We have a lot of Thai listeners, so I'd like to just put a little small disclaimer. We actually value Thailand very much, and we think it's one of the most beautiful countries in the world.
It is. But you can't eat off the floor. Singapore, in Singapore, you could eat off the floor.
Have you eaten off the floor?
I would give it a go.
I actually could. I could vision you eating like a little sandwich or some spilt soup.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I would.
It tastes good.
It's not that bad.
No, it's a very clean place. It's a very clean place.
It's well structured. It's well thought out.
Yep.
I remember being in a taxi and driving in from the airport, and there's one stretch of road that's really straight and long.
Mm-hmm.
And the taxi driver was telling us, what do you think this road is for? And it was a third landing strip. Because Singapore has the main airport, it's got the military airport, but if those were to bomb, they have this long stretch of road that has trees in the middle, but the trees are all in pot plants and you can push them to the side and land a plane on it. It's now time for the segment.
Bust my head in. Oi, bruv, I'm going to bust your head in.
Mark, what busses your head in about Singapore?
What busses my head in? So, Rory, you've already mentioned about it being clean. You've mentioned about it being structured. And that sounds all well and good in theory. But you know what really busses my head in? Is when you get off the train, you go anywhere outside, and there's rules everywhere you go. And I get it. It's what makes the country so beautiful, so clean, so unique, so special. Rory, I was shaking everywhere I went. I was panicking. I was worried that I was going to do something wrong. I am a man that rarely does anything wrong. So for me to be like that, I was a little bit nervous. So that was one thing that really does very much bust my head in about Singapore. Too many rules. You know, we all like to be rule breakers. So that busses my head in. What busses your head in?
Mark, have you ever heard the saying, great minds think alike?
I have.
Yeah, well, I was thinking the same thing as you. It feels like a hospital. It's too clinical.
Sanitary.
They don't have you can't express yourself. There's no sort of being different. Yeah. And in today's quiz, you might learn a few things about how restrictive this country can be. It's that time.
Eyes forward, pens down, ride the bus quiz.
Let's do the ride the bus quiz, Mark. We have had a few quizzes now. It's heating up here. The melons are hot commodities. Are you ready to be quizzed about Singapore?
Rory, I'm just looking at my fridge. I don't think I can fit any more melons in that fridge over there. It's getting pretty stacked.
He's getting cocky. I'm
just getting honest. That's
okay.
What I'm getting.
Okay. Well, let's see if you hop on the bus or
It's just getting uncomfortable how much I'm just so much smarter than you. But please, give
your
me all
your first question of our Singapore quiz. Singapore are the second fastest pedestrians in the world.
I'm going to hop off the bus because they are the fastest.
Hop off. Are you sure?
I'm hopping off. And I know when you hate when I'm right. You do this thing.
How fast are they?
They're pretty fast.
What do you think? Just stab in the dark.
7.6.
It is 6.15 kilometers an hour.
Whew,
did you experience
quick.
These pedestrians?
Sorry, I was leading the pack. I was wondering why people were walking so slow. Come on, guys, get up here.
Okay, question number two. Singapore is a single island nation.
Incorrect. I'm going to hop off the bus.
You're hopping off the bus.
There are many islands in that country.
Can you name any more islands?
Can I name them?
Yeah.
How would I name the island?
You know, have you never been to Sentosa Island?
No.
Very, very famous. Lots of attractions, lots of tourist things out there to do. How many islands do you think are in the Singapore has?
Oh, I'm going to say 30?
63 islands.
And
off
do you,
the mainland.
Is there any way you get to them? Is by ferry or can you fly to them? We don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
probably swim.
Maybe
some of them.
Maybe if War, you had as many melons up your sleeve like
okay,
I did, you might
maybe
know
I
the
need
answer.
To up my ante with questions here.
They're so, a little too easy.
Question number three.
I'm just too smart.
Most people know that chewing gum is illegal in Singapore, but did you know that it is illegal to walk around barefoot in Singapore?
Are you telling me to hop on or hop off, or have you just given me the answer? Because I'm going to hop on the bus.
Hop on.
I'm going to steal.
Yes, and I got it. No, hop off. It is not illegal to walk around barefoot, but there are some other laws, right? Are you ready for these?
Yes.
I did a bit of research. You cannot borrow Wi-Fi from your neighbor. How much? What would the fine be for stealing Wi-Fi from your neighbor?
300 Singapore dollars.
10,000 or 3 years in jail.
Borrowing it. Is it? I hear that the Wi-Fi is very good in Singapore.
It is. Here's another one. Being naked in your own home while in public view is illegal. So you would be destroyed. You love being naked in your home. But if the windows are
sorry,
open...
Just my home?
Love being naked everywhere.
Please.
But if the windows are open and the public can see you, what do you think the fine is, Mark?
I'm going to say $300 again.
It's $2,000 or 3 months in jail.
3 months in jail?
Yeah.
All right, consider the rest of my life behind bars, boy. Don't drop that soap.
Littering small things, $300.
Yeah.
Large things, they can dress you up in green glowing vests and make you clean to shame you in public.
Really?
Yeah. Not flushing public toilets is a $150 fine.
Yep.
So there's a couple of the fines. Okay, we're up to question four. You are on two from three.
I'm enjoying my melons.
It is illegal to have long hair in Singapore.
Oh, that sounds ridiculous. It's illegal to have long hair in Singapore? I mean, the only thing you're getting me to think is I've noticed... more particular, the women. A lot of the women have
men to have long hair.
Oh, men.
Sorry, that's my mistake.
No, look, I'm glad that's on the record. It's not just the only mistake you make.
Be a lot of short hair.
Can you repeat the question again?
It is illegal for men to have short hair in Singapore.
I'm going to hop off the bus.
Hop off. You are correct.
That can't be illegal.
Here we go.
I want to hear where you're...
It is not illegal anymore. In the 60s, the government of Singapore put in a law to forbid men from having long hair due to the rise of hippies around the world. It was in effect till the 90s, so for 30 years you couldn't have long hair. Bands like the Bee Gees and Led Zeppelin couldn't go to Singapore because they wouldn't cut their hair.
Wow.
Question number five. Doing well, 3 out of 4.
Yep.
The Singapore Sling cocktail was first served in Hong Kong.
That's another great question, Rory. It's famous. I've never tried it. It was first served in Hong Kong. I'm going to hop on the bus.
Hop on the bus? That is wrong, Mark. Of course it wasn't served in Hong Kong. It was served in Singapore. It was served in 1915 in the Raffles Hotel in Singapore. Highly recommend. Go into the Raffles. Treat yourself to a Singapore Sling. So that's a 3 out of 5, Mark. Are you happy with that?
Or not overly. I feel like you coerced me with that, with the way you phrased that question to me answering that way. Look, do you know what? You know, you talk about the cocktails. You know the big Marina Bay Sands rooftop?
Yeah.
Go up there for a nice little cocktail. Holy moly. $20. Entrance fee up to the top.
Yep.
Wonderful views overlooking Singapore.
Does that include the infinity pool? Can you get into the infinity pool for the $20?
It says here, you need to be a guest to get into the swimming pool.
So you have to splash out.
splash out.
But a boom.
Hey, Rory, did you go to Universal Studios when you're in Singapore?
No, I didn't go out to Sentosa Island, one of those many islands off the coast of Singapore.
You should have.
Why is that, Mark?
I hear it's amazing. You can take the whole family. Horror film lovers should try the time in October. That's when it goes into the Halloween Horror Night. It is fabulous. Good area, though, Rory, you got to go is Clark Keys. I'm sure you went there.
Clark Keys. Is this your top three? Are you wrapping it up?
No.
Are you just throwing it out?
It's an absolute must.
Why? What's right in this, Clark Keys?
That's where you'll get all your food. So that's where you get all your variety of Malay food, Indian food. you'll get all your, of course, Chinese food.
They're
wonderful
just
spot.
In the key.
All in the city. That's where there's bars, restaurants, super close to where we're talking about, the Marina Bay. Awesome.
It's that time.
Local legend, Fast Five.
Today on Local Legend Fast Five, we're going to be interviewing Lily.
Why has your accent gone American? Today on Local Legend Fast Five. Like, do you want to be a game show host? I swear.
Oh, this is my audition. That's the only thing I'm using this podcast for.
I would
for.
Not give you a job. I'm sorry.
What game show are you at?
I'd let you hold my microphone, but you ain't not getting a job. Okay, sorry. You're asking who our local legend is. It is Lily. Lily. So Lily is a very good friend of my family. So been best friends with my mother for quite some years. So Lily moved to Australia when, we'll have to find that out, actually. I don't want to get that wrong. But an absolute joy to speak to Lily. So, yeah, really look forward to listening to this. Hello, Lily.
Thank you. Hello. How are you?
Good. Where are we calling you? Where are you, Lily? What part of the world are you right now?
I'm in Australia, Western Australia, in Perth.
You sound excited. I like that.
I'm excited. Yeah.
But Lily,
Singapore is always home.
Lily, you're from Singapore originally, though.
Yes, I am. I was.
And how long have you been in Australia for?
About 33 years now.
33 years. And is all your family with you here in Australia, or are they in Singapore, or is it sort of divided?
No, all my family is in Singapore, and all my husband's family are all in London.
So all over the world, there's Lilies.
Yeah. Just friends, no family here.
No, brilliant. Well, Lily, you grow up in Singapore, and you definitely know a fair bit about the country. So I've got a couple of questions I want to ask you. I'm very curious about the first question because I love food, and yep. I know you do also like your food. I remember that about you, yep. When we'd come round for you for lunches and dinners at yours when we were kids. What type of food, typical food, would you expect in Singapore?
Well, the typical food that you go to Singapore, really, you go to the hawker centre and eat the hawker food. And you go there, you've got a variety of food in all sorts of nationality. You are not confined to one sort of food and one nationality. You can have Indian food, you can have Chinese food, you can have Malay food, all sorts of food just in one place, you know?
Yeah.
That is the hawker centre. And it's cheap and it's cheerful.
That's important. Do they mix the foods? Like, does Indian mix with a bit of Chinese, and does Chinese mix with a bit of...
Yeah, over the years they do. Over the years there's a little bit of cross culture and cross cooking sort of food, you know. It's like the Malays, normally they have their spicy food and all that, but now they cross into eating steamboat like the Chinese, but halal, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So they tend to do sort of things because kids love this steamboat business, you know. So the Muslims do not want to sort of be left out. So they have their in halal meat, which is meat slaughtered by the haji, you know.
Yeah. Well, I know they're big into your meats in Singapore. Is it a country that caters for vegetarians and people that can't eat the meats?
I don't think, maybe the younger generation, but the older generation, they still eat a lot of meat, but not humongously amount like Aussies have a chunk of steak and all that, not in aspect. They eat all their meat, they sort of cut it thinly, slice, and then they stir fry, you know. We don't just gobble a whole steak and all that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And Lily, yeah. Tell me this. Is there anything like strange or unique or different about Singapore that maybe the listeners would be interested in knowing?
What do you mean by strange?
Well, is there any unique kind of practices or rules or anything in the culture that's different to maybe what it's like in you know, Australia where you're living now?
Singaporeans are very parochial, you know, and they like their Singapore very much. You know, they wherever they go, you know, they always bring their own Singapore food with them, to be honest. Even though they go traveling, they bring their own Singapore food with them. You know, that way they are that way inclined. You know, I remember in the olden days when I used to work for Avis, and we used to go traveling, and wherever we travel, you know, all the managers who carry their own food with them, you know, their packets of instant noodles and all that, because they go to London, they don't know what to eat in London, not fancy the fish and chips, you know, so they bring their own food with them. And when we went to Belgium once, and one of the manager couldn't handle the food and came home after, we were supposed to be there in 10 days, I think he left after 2 days. See? So that is very unique in the Singaporean way. Like, doesn't matter where, like my family, when they come here, the first thing they want to do is go and buy some, is there any way I can eat char kway teow or something like that, you know?
No.
They will not say, well, I'm in Australia, I better have some fish and chips, you know, it's not like that.
They're you're a proud bunch, Lily, and that's great. But what about if we were to go to Singapore? I know it's a small country, but is there any hidden gem? Is there anything that, you know, when you go to Singapore, you shouldn't miss? Maybe a site that you should visit?
Yeah, you've got to go to that place called Gardens by the Bay. I think that is a unique feature that you never, ever see in anywhere in the world. Have you seen that Gardens by the Bay?
Absolutely. It was one of the best things I've seen. But does Singapore have a lot of money? Is that why they can afford to make something as grand as that?
They are filthy rich. In Singapore, they are so filthy rich.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they are very, very rich. And also the beauty about Singapore is, for instance, we want to build something in Australia. We've got to go to a parliamentary inquiry, you've got to do a research, and this, that, and the other, 10 years later, before they start to build, you know. Whereas in Singapore, they want to build the casino, they don't ask anybody, you just build it. The MRT, they just build it, you know, with no parliamentary inquiry, just build it, because we need it. They're loaded, there's so much money.
They're strong and they're efficient, and that sounds exactly like you, Lily. So that
makes... Thank you.
Hey, Lily, what was the best thing about living in Singapore? And, you know, what would you say is the best thing about living there just in general?
Very, very safe, and the climate. Singapore is so safe. I don't know whether anywhere in the world you can feel so safe. Be it 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the night, I can walk, I don't have to turn and look behind me and somebody's going to stab me in the back or something like that. I can go on the MRT, I can go anywhere, and it's very, very safe. Nobody's going to rob me, and nobody's going to snatch my handbag, scratch my face, or one punch sort of thing. It doesn't happen in Singapore. So I think that's very unique, don't you think?
I think that, yeah. It's funny, yeah, now that you say that, when I was there, it did have that kind of feel about it, that it did feel very, it didn't feel like you were going to get bothered by anybody, and it felt very peaceful. So
no, and then you're a single lady, you can walk on the street, you don't think, oh, I've got to have my husband or my boyfriend, and nobody's going to attack you, you know, you're very safe.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's good. So if I was to go with a girl, I could pretend that I'd be big and strong and protecting her, when I really don't ever have to worry about protecting her at all. It's really just
a facade. No, you don't have to. She doesn't need you. You just go piss off. You go to the park somewhere.
What? So
you don't have to pretend, Mark.
It's a story of my.
Needs your arms around him.
It's a story of my life, Lily. Hey, you talk about that's something great about living in Singapore. What bothers you about Singapore the most? Like, if you could change something,
it's the freedom of speech.
Right.
There's no freedom of speech in Singapore.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the government is such that, you know, you do as I say, but don't do as I do.
Oh.
So you can't say, well, I hate Lee Kuan Yew and he's doing this, that, and that. I can't go publicly and talk about him. I can't do that because they'll lock me up. Yeah, guided democracy.
Wow, okay. I didn't know that. Has that been going on for years, or is that just a new thing?
Oh, for donkey's years. And in fact, it got worse now.
Wow.
It got worse. It's almost to the stage of communism, actually. A party only, People's Action Party, PAP, one party only. And that party has been running the country for the last 55 years.
Okay, all right, that makes sense then. Yeah, now I see. Yeah.
And you might get one opposition person on the bench, one or two, but the rest are all PAP, and that's it. Can you see that in the world, anywhere in the world?
Yeah, no, not really. No. There's a couple that spring to mind, but that's really interesting. I actually did not know that about Singapore. That's super interesting.
Oh, they are very. You know, yesterday when I spoke to my niece and my nephew, and then the kids, they're my nieces and nephews' children. They are sort of 7, 10, and all that. Even they think, you know, freedom of speech. 7, 8 years old, they ask for freedom of speech. How bizarre is that?
Lily, what about the public transport? I'm curious about that because when I was there, I noticed it was quite good. What do you make of the public transport and getting around Singapore? Is the best way to have a car, or is a public transport that good you can get around on buses and trains?
The MRT is state of the art. That's the best.
And the MRT is the train, right?
MRT. The MRT is the best. And in order to get to, if the MRT is too far away, there's always feeder bus system that takes you to the MRT. And the taxis are cheap as well. Now, if you go by a taxi, say, yeah, our flag down fee in Australia is probably $5.60 to flag down, yeah?
Yep.
Down there, it's like $1.40 to flag down.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's so cheap, you know, you can say, okay, I want to hire a taxi for the day to take me around. It probably costs you $30 for the day.
That's amazing. And is it easy to get taxis? Are they kind of everywhere? And
Oh, readily available everywhere, in every hotel, every street corner, there is always a taxi station.
That's awesome. So not so much like Australia. It sounds a lot more efficient in that way.
Very much so.
And Lily, what the last one I have for you, because I'm curious, you know, because everybody always talks very positively about Singapore, and as much as a lot of people know things about Singapore, there's a lot of people don't know. So you being from there, what advice would you give to somebody traveling to Singapore, maybe for the first time? Is there anything that you would advise them?
Yeah, I would advise them to bring plenty of money, number one. number two, you just put your mind to anything you want. Say, I want to buy 10,000 pairs of shoes in 5 different colours, you can get it. I want to buy 5 shirts in 25 colours, you can get it. I want to go to bring the best beer in Singapore, you can get it. And wow. If you want to think of any kind of food, you can get it. There's nothing you can't get in Singapore. How's that?
No, that's great. And is it all very accessible? Like, when I say accessible, is it sort of you can almost wander around to each sort of neighbourhood and suburb and you'll have this available? Or is it sort of only particular parts?
Oh, yeah. It's a bit like we live in Attardale, yeah? And then you say, I want to eat some Mee Goreng. I can go to Bigton, say, you know? Or I can go to East Fremantle. So they have it in their different suburb, which is quite close proximity to us, as in like Bigton, Attardale, and all that sort of distance. And they commute by MRT or by feeder buses and all that, and taxis and all that. And all the food that you can get, say, in Attardale, you can get it in Bigton, you can get it in East Fremantle as well. You know, so easily accessible. And then if you think, hey, I'm a white man, you know, I don't really want to eat Asian food, you know, you can get really nice fish and chips in a lot of places now. They have a store that sells fish and chips or salad and all that. You can get that as well. And in most hotels, they sell European food. You can have a spaghetti bolognese or you can have a steak in the hotel. It doesn't cost you an arm and a leg either. Maybe you get a nice steak for $30. That's not a lot of money.
That's good, yeah. No, that's...
So really, going to Singapore, you literally think, I want to do this, I can. I want to do that, I can. I want to go to the casino, I can. I want to buy this, I can. I want to eat, I can. And there's no restrictions, you know?
Yeah, it's all readily available and always around, which sounds awesome. Hey, Lily, you have got me. You've got our listeners, you've got everybody super excited, and you should, Lily, be extremely proud of how you have represented your birthplace of Singapore. So I want to say thank you, Lily. It has been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Have you enjoyed yourself?
Thank you.
It's come to the end of the episode.
Did somebody say DMTB?
Top three.
Yeah.
DMTB top three tips. What do you got, Mark?
One recommendation is definitely when you're in the airport and you've only got a short period of time, if you're one of those people, they have a free city bus tour, which you can take. Runs for a couple of hours from memory. Yeah, you get on that out straight outside the airport, does a couple of hours around the city, drops you back at the airport.
Mark, do you know, I don't know if we mentioned this in season one, there's a website called sleepinginairports.com. Have you ever heard of it?
Mm-mm.
great website to understand what's going on in the airport. So if you want cheap or free Wi-Fi, if you want cheap food, if you want the quietest place to sleep, if there's showers, if there's a gym, if there's a pool, a great website if you're going to spend a long period of time in the airport. Might be worth checking out, especially in Singapore with such a good airport.
What does it do? Just gives you ideas what to do.
Yeah, and lots of just information about the airport. What else have you got for us, Mark?
One thing I would highly recommend is plan a time when the Formula One's on. You've heard about the Singapore Formula One race?
Yeah, it was the first night race.
Yes, correct. And held annually since 2008. So it's cool because when the race is on, there's concerts, there's like nice little night stalls, entertainment activities. I might even give you a dance outside. And it's a beautiful time to come, Rory. Definitely plan your visit around when the Formula One is on. What about yourself?
So I mentioned the Gardens by the Bay. Definitely look at that. Marina Bay Sands. If you can get into that infinity pool, get your Instagram photos taken. Well worth it. You can even post on Don't Miss the Bus Instagram page if you want. Just throw it up there. Just make a splash. My last tip, and I'm clearing up something that Mark brought up earlier. There is markets in around Circular Quay. But Mark... And Circular Quay in Sydney too.
Again, listeners, I apologise for him. It's good.
Okay, so Chinatown Market's very famous. Yes. Everybody goes there. Worth a look. But the Lau Pat Sat, which are the food markets in Clark Quay,
yep.
Go there. They're open 24 hours. You'll get all types of foods.
Rory, what's the national dish of Singapore?
Singapore noodles?
No, chili crab.
Chili crab, there you go.
If you like your crab, that's a good dish.
Now, if you want to go a little bit further out, go to the Old Airport Road Hawker Center. You get fried wheat noodles, you get prawns and pork, bean curd pudding. Well worth it. You're going to get a lot more locals that go to that. Just look out for the long lines out the front of different stalls. They're the ones you want to go to. It's going to take longer, but it's well worth lining up. So they are my three tips for Singapore.
Wowee, Rory. That is definitely our best episode yet. If you enjoy that episode, please subscribe to Don't Miss the Bus on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts from so you never miss an episode. And please follow us and like us on Facebook and on Instagram. And we're also on Patreon too. Please also don't forget to rate, review, and tell all of your friends so they can also jump on the magical school bus of the Don't Miss the Bus podcast. Happy travels.